and the final seconds will tick down in a 4-2 Boston victory against Toronto in game number 3.
The power play's got to find ways to get one. I thought power play was all right tonight. You know, we had some good looks and tight around the net that we didn't make good on. But we got to find a way to get those in.
We have the people in here to make it successful. You know, we're talking how to try to make it better, try to just relieve pressure a little better and support each other a little better. So that's what we'll do over these next 2 days, try to figure out how we can just be better. And
you know, we still got to be a little bit better defensively. After tying it, we can't let it roll in after that.
Once you take your eye off the ball, they're able to capitalize, and you know, that's the difference. And it's just those momentary lapses. You just have to be more dialed.
I saw the way we were. I saw the way our captain was. And I just knew we were going to have a good game. Didn't know we were going to win, because the Leafs are a good hockey team. But I knew we were coming to play.
Final voice you heard was Jim Montgomery, the coach of the Boston Bruins, whose team now up 2-1 in the best of 7 series with game number 4 in Toronto on Saturday night. This is hour 3 of First Up on TSN Radio. Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Koliakovo. You also heard some of the Maple Leafs, including Sheldon Keefe, Mitch Marner, and others, about the power play, which has been a major, major concern. Not only in this playoff series where they're 1-for-11, but dating back to their last 10 playoff games. In the last 10 playoff games, you want to factor in Florida, the tail end of the Tampa series last year. Toronto's power play is 3 for its last 26. That's how you lose. That's how you lose.
I don't know how you can expect to have playoff success with those type of numbers.
You cannot have playoff success. And I guess you look at Dallas and Vegas last night, where there were 2 power plays in the game. That's it. That's the type of game the Leafs need. Because if they're playing at 5-on-5 against the Boston Bruins, again, they lose 4-2. Brad Marchand scores twice, has an assist. It was the Marchand game in Game 3, much like it was the Matthews game in Game 2. You need to find a way to get some officials in there who don't blow a whistle. That's the best recipe for success for the Leafs, because if there are power plays on either side, they're probably going to lose the game, because they just cannot score on the PP, and they cannot keep the puck out of the net on the PK right now. And it's a huge problem. It's a huge problem. And to deal with it in the middle of a playoff series, game 4, like, how you fix it in 2 off days, and this has not been a problem that is fresh. It's something that's permeated this team for 6 to 8 weeks now. Their power play has been bad. Their penalty kill has been bad all year long. They need to right the ship immediately. And maybe it's 88 who returns and is their savior and helps them get it back on track as far as the power play goes. But, man, it is just brutal right now. You cannot go 0-for-5 at home on the power play and expect to have any success.
Yeah, I totally agree. And not just have any success. It's any success in a closely contested game, right? I mean, clearly it was a difference in the game for Boston. Boston scored a huge power play goal to start the third period to give them the lead, which ultimately forced the Maple Leafs to chase the game. Yes, they get a big goal to tie it, and granted, it was a lucky bounce, but hey, you throw pucks at the net, anything can happen. You get a lucky bounce, and less than 30 seconds later, I know it wasn't power play, but you know, you have a mental breakdown. You get, first of all, you get out-muscled on a puck, which is what Timothy Liljegren did in the D zone, trying to make a play on the puck. Then it's 1 or 2 desperation plays that hits a skate. Frederick finds Marchand in the slot. Next thing you know, Marchand makes an elite shot. To me, it didn't matter who was in the net. It was just a perfectly placed shot. And now 30 seconds later, you're chasing the game again. And then you get a power play. You don't generate much off of it. You have a 2-minute 6-on-5. You don't generate much off of it. And here you are staring at a 2-1 series deficit now, because when you reflect back at the game, you think to yourself, man, we had a lot of opportunities, especially early in the first period. They had, what, 2 power plays in the first period. And me and you were both there at the start of the game. The Simon Benoit puck over the glass. I mean, you couldn't ask for a more horrible start to a game.
Deflating. Very deflating.
A home game where you're trying to get the crowd into the building, but they found a way to get a kill there. They found a way to get a big kill at the end of game 2. They found a way to get a kill. Third period, it's almost like the 3 guys on the ice forgot that they were still killing a penalty. because you have three veteran players on horrible sides of the puck. You got Edmondson who's making a battle. You got McCabe. I don't know why McCabe is engaged in that battle. You're killing a penalty. And you got Marner standing on the offensive side of the puck instead of the defensive side of the puck. Puck squirts out, two on over the net. Marchand gets a shot. DeBrus bangs in the rebound. Like, this is game three of the playoffs, and these guys are still making those type of mistakes. That can't happen.
Cannot happen. It can't, and it has. And what comes from this going forward is a very big question. And the adjustments the Toronto Maple Leafs make, I mean, the penalty kill is what it is. It was a bottom third unit all year long. It's been really, really mediocre.
Okay,
for
AK, you know how to fix that? You know how to fix that? If the Maple Leafs
go take penalties would be
exactly. If you can't kill the penalties, stop taking them.
Don't take penalties. Now, it was a very, very soft whistle last night for the refs, and we'll talk a lot about some of the calls they did make and didn't make, including a couple in that first period that led to Trent Frederick's Joe Nieuwendyk on Patrick Laliem 2.0. I guess 3.0, scored a couple of goals that night.
I've watched that goal about four times this morning on SportsCenter.
I
still can't believe it went in. This is playoffs.
It's the playoffs. Samsonov, he had some really nice moments. Early in that game, he made some huge saves. The breakaway Pavel Zacha had. JVR had some really good opportunities. That was a really nice insertion, by the way, for the Boston Bruins, bringing JVR in the lineup. He had some jump last night. He could have easily had a couple, but didn't hit the post and had that breakaway. But you can't give a freebie to the Boston Bruins, and that's exactly what Samsonov did. And say what you will about the rest of his performance, I don't think you can blame him on the DeBrus goal. The Marchand goal was a total snipe than the empty netter, but the first goal was just a backbreaker. It was a TSN turning point in that game. The Leafs had the lead, and Samsonov gives up a freebie to Boston. Consider what Boston's goaltending has been through three games. Swayman and Allmark have not given up freebies to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And last night, Boston got one. They got one from Samsonov. That just cannot happen. It cannot happen. And between the penalty kill struggles, the power play struggles, and that first goal that Trent Frederick scored, just a lot of reasons to shake your head heading into game four on Saturday. So we'll talk to James Duthie. We'll talk to Andrew Brewer as well, former Maple Leafs assistant. He can break down the X's and O's for us about the power play struggles, the penalty kill struggles, and he would have advised the Toronto Maple Leafs to try to fix those two major concerns ahead of do or die on Saturday night in Toronto. James Duthie on the other side. Our keyword for Maple Leaf tickets is to come in the next 20 minutes. You're going to want to stick around. Again, the keyword is something we'll give out. You need to text 105050, your name, and what the keyword is, and why you are deserving of the Maple Leaf tickets, your passion. We'll have that for you again in 20 minutes. So you're going to want to stay tuned to First Up. We'll talk to JD, who's part of the TSN hockey panel for the Leafs and the Bruins on the other side. Duthie with us. This is First Up. In about 4 minutes, we're looking forward to it. Maybe you should have done the whole Jason Kelsey luchador mask thing in the press box. Little retrospective thinking, but it might have been the boost that the Toronto Maple Leafs and the crowd at Scotiabank needed to see Carlo Koliakovo tarps off next to Brian Hayes and Chris Johnston and Mark Masters, who look on in abject horror. With your luchador
I would never
mask.
Be allowed back.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
But game four, maybe there's an opportunity. Let's welcome in our man, James Duthie, the host of many things here at TSN, including the Maple Leafs panel post games. Last night, JD, I mean, not the best performance from the Leafs. They lose 4-2 to the Boston Bruins. But how you doing, buddy? What's going on?
You know, when they call me and put me on hold and I listen to you, I picked it up right as you were saying that sentence about Carlo tops off. And I thought my heart stopped because I thought you were saying that it happened.
No. I'm pretty sure it would have gone viral on social media. Carlo Koliakovo was waving his shirt with a luchador mask in the press
box. I can
box.
Tell you one thing, James. We were joking with Steve Simmons, who was sitting beside us in the press box. And obviously he was a topic of conversation. And yesterday, leading into the game because of the Toronto Sun front page. And we jokingly said if Mitch Marner would have scored yesterday and he would have led this team to victory, that we were going to take a photo giving the middle finger to Steve Stamens to his face. But could you imagine if I was the guy with my shirt off saying, yeah, this is all you, Steve. He did it for you.
Well, I mean, years ago, on one of the Leafs' first runs, we were in the box, and it might have been O's first time in the press box, you know, as a media guy. And you know, the reason people love him so much, the reason they love you guys, is the passion, right? And he was living and dying with every Leafs shift. And there are some old school reporters who, you know, you're taught in journalism school, no cheering from the press box. And I think that's fine for me or, you know, a writer. O is not, you know, he's not a journalist per se. He's a commentator. And so somebody came up and said, hey, no cheering in the press box. And O wanted to single-handedly destroy this person who I will not name. A long-standing hockey reporter, not Steve Simmons. And I don't think O's ever forgotten it. But
you know,
I have no problem with that. It's ridiculous, by the way. If you go in, I've been to enough opposing arenas and Stanley Cup finals. That usually the home team's, quite often the home team's TV crew gets the boot for the playoffs. So they're sitting in there watching the game. And almost every single one of them is cheering passionately and, you know, yelling at the refs just like they're fans, except they're sitting in box. So O is certainly not alone in all of that.
But, was that the same year they played the Boston Bruins? I remember you were sitting beside him and you were taking those videos of him.
Yeah, it might have been. That's right.
Yeah.
I was posting them because that's right. Yeah. So anyway, I would see it. I think you'd probably, the same hockey reporter would come and chastise you for going tarps off, Carlo. But I want to go on the record as saying I'm 100% in favor of it.
Oh man, I just don't know how the TSN bosses would feel about that. Just
well, you might like be fired. But I'm just
How about if we suggest just one thing? We talk about the home record for the Maple Leafs. It's 1-6 in the last two seasons. Mm-hmm. And we always have fun about this luchador mask and how it just keeps people in good moods. And maybe that's what the Scotiabank Arena needs, just people in better moods so that they can be louder. What if instead of handing out those rally towels, the Maple Leafs put a luchador Toronto Maple Leafs colored theme on everyone's seat so that when people come to the game, they're throwing the luchador mask. Now, not only does everybody look the same, it's intimidating for the opposing
it's
team.
It's terrifying. Brad Marchand will look into the crowd and be horrified. He just
wait a minute. Where am I? The WWE?
Exactly. Rey Mysterio. 19,800 Rey Mysterios in the crowd. I think you're onto something. We need to call Balkamania to
right?
and have that ready.
Give everybody a luchador mask.
You know, it's tough, and I know you guys have already been talking about Joe Bowen's tweet last night, and it is tough to watch in contrast to all of the other scenes in the playoffs, like almost all of them, I think, you know, particularly the Winnipegs and Vancouvers and
Carolinas.
Pretty much almost every scene in the league, essentially. And it's nothing new. I heard Brian Hayes analyzing it. I thought he did a good job last night, that there is somewhat, you can understand the Leafs fan, after all the frustrations of the years, that they are sort of waiting for something, and they've been hurt and wounded so many times, but I still don't think that excuses it. And it's just a bad look just because TV cameras only capture the lower bowl, and there are awesome fans in there, and they did go nuts certain times last night, like with a couple of the hits, but just from the TV perspective, you only see always those first 15 rows, and it's just such a stark contrast with the rest of the league, frankly, in a playoff situation. But I don't know how you do anything about it except, you know, win, first of all, and play ridiculously exciting hockey, and that would certainly help, but it's a tough look.
Get the luchador mask, so that'll be my solution. But I'll be honest with you, James, I was in the building last night with AK, and it did not feel like a playoff atmosphere.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
it didn't look like it at all. Like the first period, just, you know, watching from where we were at TSN, it's like I said, it's a tough watch. And I think it's not the reason they've lost. What is it? 7 of 8?
Six of seven.
Yes.
Okay. Whatever it is, their last playoff games at home. It's not the reason, but it might be a reason. You can't tell me that, you know, those scenes in other rinks don't give teams a, whatever it is, a 2%, 3% boost. And that's sometimes in a tight game, in a tight series like this, can be the difference. So I don't think it will be the reason the Leafs lose if they lose, but it's a reason. It's a little reason. And like I said, I'm neutral on all of this and watching these games, but I'd be as upset as Joe Bowen was, and you were, and a lot of Leaf fans who are watching at home were.
So I'm curious to know. I didn't get a chance to watch the TSN post game coverage with you and the panel. Well, I was on the train on the way home.
Well, maybe record it. There's devices
Now. I've been watching it on no volume this morning on SportsCenter on repeat because I'm doing the radio show, but. What was the reaction from the panel?
The panel's actually better, no volume, even if you are home. You know, cause we look good, but you know, not always coherent.
So we've talked about the power play. We've talked about Marchand. Mm-hmm. What was the feeling from the panel with yesterday's loss?
Well, Marty didn't like Samsonov. As great as Samsonov was on some of those early saves, that kick save early in the game I thought was spectacular, and a couple of breakaways, but. No matter what the situation, the first goal, which
can't go in,
it can't go in. You know, we talked about. I think there was consensus that probably should have been a penalty on Matthews. I don't think. You know, on the telecast, they were going on and on about the Marchand Bertuzzi thing should have been blown down for
coincidental. But I
don't know. I think they were just kind of going back and forth. Maybe Marchand tripped him at the end. Maybe Bertuzzi dove. I really didn't have a problem with that. I think the Matthews thing, there's probably a valid case for, but it doesn't matter because they weren't called and play continued, and that was a weak goal to give up. But my overall feeling from these three games is they do look like a different team. They are more competitive. There's, you know, a little more grit in there. I like the effort. There's so many. I do think they look more like a playoff team. I like what Bertuzzi does. I think Domi's been good, but there's still always that something missing. It's the special teams that lets you down, or it's a weak goal like that that lets you down, or you know, maybe they're not. Obviously, then I think the Nylander absence is now starting to be really felt. Right now, we're three games in here. And you go, you need this guy. You need, you know, Marner's assist last night was great. That's not him. Really do much after that. I didn't, even though Matthews is probably still one of, if not the best Leafs, I didn't feel like he had sort of the extra he had in game two. And that's fair. You're not going to have it every night. You're not going to be the most dominant player that you need. So that's why you need Nylander back in there so that at least, you know, two of them or one and a half of them are going every single night. And so it's just those little things. There's always just something missing here. And it would be nice if they could put it all together for a stretch of three or four games here.
James Duthie is our guest here on First Up. Our keyword for Leafs and Bruins Game 4 tickets is coming up soon. Make sure to stick with us. JD, how surprised would you be if Boston went away from Jeremy Swayman in Game 4?
I'm not going to be surprised because they've said, you know, what did Jim Montgomery say that they
had? They made their schedule a month ago.
But that to me is the most ludicrous thing ever. Yeah. You can't make a plan. In any sport, you can't make a plan a month ago and
say that's what we're going with.
Say we're going with it no matter what. That's just like, obviously, you know, you make your lines up and what you want them to be in your defense pairings, but if things aren't going right, you switch them in game, you know, after a period or a period and a half. I just think it's lunacy, even though I think they feel like they got bit last year because went away from the rotation, and by the time they got to Game 7 and put Swayman in, it was kind of too late, so they lost that series, and so they're never doing that again. We're sticking to our, you know, maybe Ullmark will be great in Game 4, but I don't know how, in what world, in any sport, do you take a guy out who is completely and utterly dominating the other team for the last year? I mean, we put up a board last night.
The Jays will do it. The Jays would do it.
True, the Jays.
Yeah, you're right.
John Schneider and Jim Montgomery, two peas in a pod.
Like the save percentages in his five games against the Leafs are, and I'm gonna get these wrong, but it was like 972, 968, 964, 959. Like just lunacy save percentages every time against this team. And you know, just for that itself, but also the idea that, you know, maybe he's in their heads a little bit is I think it's absolute lunacy. But they're going to do it. And, I would be surprised, actually, if they go back to Swayman now because they seem to be sticking to their guns so much.
Well, James, Maple Leaf fans are down bad, some perhaps crying at the gym. So hopefully we'll see if Game 4 can yield a better result. Did you get the
They'll
Taylor
come
Swift
back.
Reference
I think,
there?
Like I said, I think it's a weird – do you guys agree with me, though? Don't you feel like they've played – like there's a lot to like in the way they've played. It's just, again, it's one thing that lets them down, either a bad goal or special teams or whatever, and I think that's the frustrating part.
Self-inflicted mistakes have cost them. Yeah. They should be up
and
in
you
this
can't
series,
chase,
but instead they're not.
You know, if they lose this thing, you can't just keep chasing a series. They'll come back and play well in Game 4. I think they'll probably come back and win in Game 4, but now you're back to Boston. And, you know, when you chase a series, eventually you run out of time. So that's the thing.
JD, you're a good man. Thank you for doing this. We'll talk to you again next week.
Wear your luchador mask on the panel next time. Start the movement.
Move the right, luchador movement. Yes.
We're definitely not going tarps off on the panel. So.
I don't know. You're jacked, buddy. You're jacked. I don't know why you wouldn't.
See you guys.
See you, pal.
James Dottie potentially showing off that six-pack on the TSN hockey panel on Saturday night. The key word for Leafs Bruins tickets is coming up shortly, as is Andrew Brewer, former Maple Leafs assistant. We'll get his thoughts on how it went down last night at Scotiabank Arena. The Leafs losing 4-2 to Boston. We'll tell you about the Jays result. We'll tell you about the NFL draft, which goes tonight, plus a couple of wild ones last night in the Stanley Cup playoffs as well, including the Oilers, a shocking loss to the LA Kings. That's next. So we had a great time at the Leaf game last night. The who's who of Toronto sports media and me were there. It was great to see so many of our colleagues, rivals, just friends. It was a true delight.
Nice to finally meet Sean McDonough in person.
That's right, Sean McDonough, yes. The legend from ESPN, who was calling the game with Ray Ferraro, who had a very contentious back and forth with the camera guy.
Right in between next, the benches?
Ray was just yelling at this guy. And you could see, like, it's a small space, right? And this camera guy's turning left, turning right, turning left, turning right. Like, almost smoking Ray in the head with the camera. Yeah. And I can't imagine Ferraro was a big fan of that guy. But isn't that how it would usually be in that space? Or was last night different?
I don't know, because Ray Ferraro was doing ESPN, and that was probably a Sportsnet camera that was in there. Doing the game, so I can't imagine he's done a game where there's two different broadcasts in the same spot.
Good point.
So, yeah,
it was a tight squeeze.
Ray's got a short fuse, so you can imagine what he was probably going through during that time. But look, it was fun to be down there. It was fun to be part of playoff hockey, even though at times in the rink yesterday it didn't feel like the energy of playoff hockey existed in the building. And we've spent a lot of time talking about that this morning, obviously triggered by the tweet that Joe Bowen sent out last night. And look, I give Joe Bonesy a ton of credit, man. This guy is so passionate about this team. You hear it in his calls. You hear it in his play-by-play. And he even said it himself, you know, he knows that the players won't say it, but he feels like he can speak on behalf of the players that last night's energy in the building was pretty disappointing. And I felt it too.
We have some good news. To boost the energy in the building, we're going to give away a pair of tickets for game number 4 here on TSN 1050. We're putting passionate Leaf fans in the stands to see the Leafs and the Bruins in round number 1. I've been talking about this keyword all morning long. Today's 8 a.m. keyword is clapper.
Ooh.
Clapper. You have 10 minutes right now, people. 10 minutes to text the word clapper and your name to 1050-50. Tell us what makes you a diehard Leaf fan. Tomorrow morning, we will be calling the devoted fan with a pair of tickets to game number 4. Your next keywords are at 3 and 5 p.m. today, so the more you listen to TSN 1050, the better your chances of winning the tickets. Standard message rates apply. Full details at tsn1050.ca. Again, you probably have about 9 minutes and 30 seconds to text Clapper to 105050 and tell us what makes you a devoted Leaf fan, and you could be there tomorrow night. Nope, Saturday night. We're giving away the tickets tomorrow, and the game is Saturday night at 8 p.m.
I almost can guarantee if you text in saying something about you wearing a luchador mask, you might win. You might win.
You know, being tarps off Jason Kelce Styles.
Like honestly, should we start a movement here? Like, people text us in at 10:50:50. Like, are we being idiots suggesting this, or is this something that could go viral and actually get the Maple Leafs fans' attention in a positive way, that they're doing something different that would create excitement in the building? Like, think about all in Winnipeg the other night, everyone's dressed in white and there's a guy in a salmon shirt. Okay? Yeah. It's something that gets people's attention. And I think for the Maple Leafs and their crowd right now, what's been getting negative attention, and even when I tweeted out, you know, the beginning of the game when the players are walking on the ice and everyone's on their feet and the towels and stuff, and the guys from Missing Curfew caught my tweet and they reposted on there and they asked, you know, how does the Maple Leafs vibe compare to the Vancouver and the Jets vibe? And you said myself, it was good, but I don't think it came anywhere close to what we saw or felt just from watching it on TV, what Vancouver's energy in the building was or what Winnipeg's energy in the building was. And like, it's all about starting new trends, right? And finding a way to create a different energy in the building. And yeah, it may sound stupid, but when you really think about it, maybe it'll take people out of their uncomfortable zone that they feel like they're in at the game because they're dressed in a suit and feel like they have to entertain whoever they're there with. You put a luchador mask on and you're like, hey, let's have some fun with this. Everybody else
whatever
is doing
works.
It.
Whatever works, because the Leafs have lost 5 straight games at home in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and they're 1-6 in their last 7 games in the Stanley Cup playoffs on home ice. It's a disadvantage, not an advantage. Yeah. At home, and it's just ludicrous.
I got to read one of these texts. I'll get the luchador mask, and I'll go tarps off on Saturday.
All right, congratulations. Again, keep the text coming, 10:50:50. Yeah. The keyword is Clapper if you want to win tickets to the Leafs and the Bruins. We're trying to get as many entries, so our boss is proud of us. She sets goals for me. She's like, you need to get this many entries, does Steph. And I'm like, all right, we're going to do our best. So help us help you.
Okay. And help us help you. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that might be the wrong phrase.
Well, the texts are flowing in, so keep
right,
it up,
good,
people.
Good. 10:50:50. The keyword is Clapper. As much as the Maple Leafs are struggling offensively, now that's 9 of their last 10 playoff games, they've scored 2 goals or fewer, which is just ridiculous considering the talent the Maple Leafs have.
No kidding.
They scored 3.63 goals a game in the regular season. The Blue Jays, I'm not as surprised at with how badly they're struggling with their offense. It's exactly what we expected from the outset of the season, and they're doing what we expected. They can't hit, and John Schneider talked about this situation post-game, how they're just missing opportunities constantly, and last night was no exception, another loss.
I mean, our bats were good early, hit ball hard. You know, Vogie hit a couple hard. You know, Addy hit one hard. Just didn't get the big hit, really. You know, that's what it comes down to. You know, I think good day, encouraging day from George, for sure. Just didn't really have much luck early and didn't get the big hit late.
Just cringe listening to that guy.
What was that sound in the background? Was that like a... like a live interview?
Fake crowd noise? I'm not sure. He did bring up Springer, who did have a home run, and that's great news for him because he's been ice cold. But there was nothing else from the Blue Jays at all. Varsho got a hit. Danny Jansen got a hit. Justin Turner pinch hit and got a hit for Ernie Clement. But they have 6 hits against Kansas City. Like, it's just – it's not going to get it done. And they have been very fortunate that their pitching has replicated – its performance from last season. Mm-hmm. And they've gotten good health. And I did see that Alek Manoah made a start at AAA yesterday and got torched. We got to stop talking about Alek Manoah. He's completely irrelevant when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Toronto Blue Jays, for that matter. He's out of the mix. He needs to string together a number of starts before he would even be considered to get any type of opportunity. I also saw that Tiedemann as well was going to visit some doctor for his elbow problem, which is bad news as well. So that's not good. That's your depth. So you got to make sure the major league guys stay healthy, because if they don't, the Blue Jays are in massive trouble.
Big time massive trouble. And I just don't know how much longer. Like, again, this is almost the same conversation we're having about the Maple Leafs. Whoa. And was that Frankie Corrado that made an appearance there?
All right, let's hear what. All right, here's Frankie. All right.
I just don't know. So to make the similar comparison to the Maple Leafs, where for the last 6 weeks of the season, we were saying they better fix this power play, they better fix this power, they better fix their penalty kill, because come playoff time, you don't want this to be the reason why they lose. Well, here we are, and what are we talking about? And the same thing has to be factored in with the Blue Jays. Like, how much longer do they allow whoever's controlling this offense to continue controlling this offense? Because this isn't just a short sample size being there.
Oh, no.
This is a carryover from all of last season. And again, Aiken, I don't know if you've seen the standings in Major League Baseball. And yes, everybody will always say, yeah, it's early in the season, you know, 162 games, a lot left. There is no wiggle room. There is no room for error here for the Blue Jays, because the Yankees are in first place with 17 wins. The Rays are in last place, tied with the Blue Jays with 13 wins. You go on a heater here where your bats get cold and your pitching staff gives up a bunch of runs, and all of a sudden you're building a 4, 5, 6 game deficit this early on the season. With the way this division is playing, it's not going to be easy to catch up.
I guess to look at it from a positive outlook, they've gotten nothing from Vladdy, from Bichette, from Springer for the
I get it, AK, but what makes you feel good about thinking that that's going to change? What, the fact that there's still a long season?
That, and they're not going to be as bad as they have been. It's impossible for that trio to be all of which under 700 OPS. Vlad, Bichette, Springer, they can't be this bad. They will be better, but again, I think the pitching will regress as well. I think
they better find a way to pick it up, man. Like,
they got to get the bats cooking. They have to. They have to, and I mean, it's the final game of the series against Kansas City. They're looking for the split tonight, and we'll see how she goes. They got the Dodgers coming to town this weekend. Ohtani, you think the booze will be raining down?
That's a tough one, man. Like, yes, what are you booing him for? What are you booing him for?
Dude, he didn't get on that flight.
For John Morosi? For John Morosi saying he was on a flight that he wasn't on?
He did
on?
Not show up to that sushi party that Kikuchi had set up for him. Very rude.
I don't know. Like, you can sit there. Like,
I can't wait to see
you can't be angry at Ohtani. Ohtani did nothing wrong.
No.
If anything.
Zero things.
If anything, he used the Jays as leverage. And I'm 100% convinced of that. All the talk that he went to visit the practice facility in Dunedin. That was just to put scare into the Dodgers that he could potentially leave.
Do you know who should throw out the first pitch tomorrow? John Morosi. For Ohtani. Ohtani just shakes his head.
Just lay it up for him.
Think about Brad Marchand getting booed.
Oh,
Morosi would have a tough time throwing out the first pitch.
I feel like Morosi is going out of his way. Like, I've never known John Morosi to be a Blue Jays insider, but it just feels like this year, at least to start the year, and even through the offseason, he's gone out of his way to make sure that he's still involved in Blue Jays breaking news.
Yes.
To sort of make up for some of his downfalls that he had?
I don't know what he's got going on, but it was a tough go for him in the offseason for sure. A tweet from Darren Dreger just seconds ago. The Willie watch continues in Toronto as the Leafs hope to even their series with the Bruins on Saturday. Bobby McMahon is also being evaluated daily and most definitely hasn't been ruled out for the series. Toronto misses his game, size, and speed. Game 5 or 6? Now, I did see Bobby McMahon last night in the press box. There was no limp. Looked like he was walking.
Yeah, normally to me. I would consider it a miracle if you see Bobby McMahon return before. The guy hasn't even skated, hasn't even been on the ice. So he's been off, what, 3 weeks now? You expect him to just go and skate 3 or 4 days and be ready to play playoff hockey?
It's a fair point.
And to be honest with you,
maybe he skates today. Maybe he skates today, and that's how he's available for game number six.
My understanding is he's not that close. Okay. So if I doubt that I'm wrong, but I would be very surprised if we see him return to the series. And think about Bobby McMahon. Like, you talk about the Willie situation and the timing of that, how it's just horrendous timing. This guy plays all 82 games.
The worst timing.
Doesn't show anything of, there's no, I went back and watched the last two games in full of Florida and Tampa, and I didn't see anything that would make you question, an injury that Nylander is dealing with. And yes, there is a lot of speculation about what he is dealing. All I'll say is this, is clearly with what we're seeing, he has to be in some sort of protocol. And if he's in some sort of protocol, you'd have to think it's something that's either upper body or head related. And again, nothing's been confirmed yet. This is just me speculating.
It makes sense. So he's out there. Is he taking contact in these skates?
He's not even a non-contact jersey.
Well, and that's why it's so peculiar.
But it's pregame skates. There is no content in these
generally
things,
speaking, if guys are coming back from concussions, they are in red jerseys, so no one touches them. But that's not ever.
But they're not in full practice mode, so I don't think
necessary. That's true. It is optional. Maybe that's not the same thing. Yeah, it's
and maybe they're not doing it because they don't want to bring attention to it, right? Which
I'm
is something
that's
that
the case. That's
they've avoided this whole time. But you think about, like, not just Nylander tough timing, like the Bobby McMahon timing of his injury. This guy was a significant 5-on-5 producer for the Maple Leafs over the last 6 weeks. He was second in 5-on-5 goals behind only Austin Matthews. And clearly you're noticing his absence too, and how much maybe of an impact he could have. But hey, you can't sit there and feel sorry for yourself. These are two guys that are unavailable for you. I still believe that even with those two guys out, the Maple Leafs should beat the Boston Bruins with the talent that they still have on the ice. The problem is Boston's playing a game where they just stick with it and they're not making big mistakes. Where the Maple Leafs, they're making way too many mistakes. And at points, even yesterday is a perfect example. It rattles them. The mistakes have rattled them.
So a column from Chris Johnston, our hockey insider, was just posted on The Athletic, and I'm going to read you an excerpt. The Leafs are expected to return on Saturday with reinforcements when the teams battle again at Scotiabank Arena. That would include William Nylander. He is trending toward a return to the lineup, according to league sources, after skating multiple times in recent days. The Leafs should also have Austin Matthews back in better health after he played through an illness last night. Now, he didn't skate yesterday morning, and that was very
odd. You could tell he wasn't himself last night.
And, yeah, so he was clearly battling something as well. So, yeah, Matthews was utterly dominant in game number two and was less prominent as far as his impact in game number three. So we'll talk to Andrew Brewer. We'll open the phone lines for Wake Up Woodbridge here as well. This is hour number three of First Up on TSN Radio. Hour number three continues. You're listening to First Up on TSN 1050. What a show it's been, Coco. What a show it's been. The Toronto Maple Leafs lose 4-2 to the Boston Bruins, and a lot of the same old stories from the series and past playoff failures rear their heads again last night. The Maple Leafs 0-for-5 on the power play, and their penalty kill struggles as well. Let's welcome in someone who's a video coach with the Toronto Maple Leafs, is well aware of what has been going on with this hockey club for a long time. He's Andrew Brewer, and he's back on First Up. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's always our pleasure. Apologies for the slight delay in giving you a call. I wanted to get your thoughts on the power play struggles that this team has been subjected to so far in this series against Boston. They're 1-for-11. The Bruins are 5-for-10 on the power play. Those stats represent perhaps the difference in the series and the reason the Leafs are down 2-1 as opposed to up 2-1. What have you been seeing from the Maple Leafs power play, and what adjustments do you think they can make?
To be honest, I think their power play has been not as bad as probably advertised, but that becomes the issue when you get into a seven-game series or, you know, 2 weeks of hockey or 10 days of hockey in the middle of April. I think that they've had a little bit of trouble on their entries, not generating enough speed on their entries, and they've been a little disjointed without Nylander. I mean, when you do something for so long, you've got your pieces and your places, and you have your routines and your expectations of what guys are going to be there. But overall, they've had tons of great chances. You look at Matthews as the shooter holding his spot last night in the second period, a great opportunity that actually got through the goalie and went to the backside. It's just one of those things that it doesn't fall. And I think it goes to the bigger issue that, you know, A, the penalty kill is a massive, massive issue for them right now. It always comes down to special teams and goaltending. If you go back to the two series I was there for in 18 and 19, it always comes down to special teams and goaltending. And Boston seems to be able to find a way to be one shot better and one save better.
So, Brew, as you just highlighted, special teams and goaltending, that's clearly an area that has favored Boston so far. You talk about five and ten chances?
5 for 10 on the PP.
5 for 10 for Boston and 1 for 11 for the Maple Leafs. And you say, yeah, it's actually not that bad, but when people see their those type of numbers, it's not a lot to get excited about with this Maple Leafs crew. And based on what you've seen, and there's a lot of talk on how you change it, I've always been a guy that encourages a shot mentality, especially, you know, it starts with your blue line where either a puck goes to the net, either finds its way in, or you create a second or third chance, or you force guys to put their work boots on and go retrieve the puck, and next thing you know, the seams are opening up. But considering it struggles, it could look good, but it's clearly not producing. Would you entertain a change, and what change would you look at? Would you look at personnel, or would you look at, you know, positioning?
I guess realistically, you're probably looking at positioning, and hopefully, you know, from a personnel perspective, you got to think that Willie comes back next game. But I think the biggest issue comes down to before the power play ever even happens. And the biggest issue that we have right now is Toronto and Boston is the second highest or the highest penalized series so far. So one of the most fun things to do this time of year is when you go to NHL stats and you look to see what teams have drawn the most penalties. And almost every series is right beside each other. You look at Toronto, they've got drawn 14 penalties. You look at Boston, they've drawn 14 penalties. Washington's drawn 11. New York's drawn 11. There's just way too many power plays in the series. Toronto's a way better team at 5-on-5, and they've got to get away from drawing the four power plays in a game. Because whether you like it or not, Boston's going to get four power plays in the game. So the number one way to fix, at the end of the day, a power play that's not going is not go on the power play as much. Spend more time at 5-on-5. Then you can get into things like, yeah, absolutely, you can look to adjust your tactics. But the issue, again, with playoffs and why it's so exciting is you can adjust it all you want, but it gets into these really small sample sizes, and sometimes the puck goes in, sometimes the puck doesn't go in, and it's really hard to control what's going to happen in a seven-game series.
I've said it. If you can't kill the penalties, don't take them, right?
Don't take them and don't draw them to a certain extent, because at the end of the day, I know it's kind of counterintuitive, but at the end of the day, if you take five penalties or if you draw five penalties, you know they're going to get at least four the other way. You can complain about reffing all you want. Hey, yeah, I think it was Matthews was taken down behind the net, but they made a big deal on the broadcast. But, it's just the way that it's called. Every single series, the penalties are even. So you got to find a way to play around and find a way to live in the way it's called.
So we're joined by Andrew Brewer. And, Brew, Mitch Marner has been a big focal point in this series because it just doesn't look like he's playing like himself. And as the founder of 200-foot hockey and 200-foot coaching, what are you noticing in Mitch Marner's game as a coach that is missing and that he needs to be better at in this series?
One thing is, it just feels strange. It feels like he doesn't have the puck like he generally does. When you look at when he's on, he's energetic, he has the puck, and he's a puck magnet. When you look at Austin Matthews in his dominant game two performance, every time he was on the ice, he was with the puck, near the puck. He was always around it. Right now, it feels like Mitch is completely away from it. So the number one way is to get closer to it. So in the defensive zone, try to be a part, try to be the first man back, to be able to kill plays, help out JT in the defensive zone, be F1 down low a little bit, and help out and kill some plays defensively, and then try to get the puck earlier on the breakout and start to get some more stuff going off the rush. I'll give them a lot of credit, and it comes into a little bit with the way they're playing. Boston's done a great job of taking away the Toronto's rush attack. They've had barely anything off of the rush, except obviously the Marner and Nyes goal last night. So that's really taken away Marner's game, and Marner's going to find a way to get a little bit more time with the puck in the offensive zone, hold on to it, cycle high. A little bit of the issue is, though, that Toronto doesn't have the same D that they had the last couple of years, where their D could really be active, kind of activate down through. They've got a little bit more of a old-school type defenseman, and now it's a little bit harder for Marner to cycle up, D to cycle down low, like you do see with Morgan Riley all the time. So you just got to find a way to have the puck. When things aren't going your way, get the puck on your stick and start to drive the play a little more.
What's the biggest challenge about going up against Brad Marchand in a playoff series?
He just knows how to push buttons. You know, if you look at all the players on the ice last night, who scored the biggest goal in the Scotiabank Arena? It was Brad Marchand. When I was lucky enough to work with him at the 2016 World Cup, he got the game winner for the championship game at the 2016 World Cup. He just knows where to go, what buttons to push, how to get away with things. I know it drove Sheldon nuts last night. You know, why does he not get called? And, you know, the Bertuzzi play. And it's just a special talent. Hey, you know, like it or not, Domi started a lot of the same thing. When he knocked over Swayman in the second period intermission, or in the second period TV timeout, it's just a special skill to be able to bug players and to be able to elevate your games. I mean, Carlo, you know better than anybody. When going gets tough in the playoffs, there's anxiety, your heart rate gets going high, your mind starts getting muddy, and the best players just find a way to not be affected by that. And for whatever reason, the Leafs continuously to have issues with, you know, when the going gets tough, it's hard. It's hard for everybody to be able to handle it. It was hard for me as a video coach. You're nervous, you're excited, you're angry, you're feeling all these emotions. So the best players, you know, whether it's a Marie-Philippe Coulet, whether it's Brad Marchand, the best players just find a way to not get bothered by it. The Michael Jordans, they just don't get bothered by it. They can do what they do all the time.
You can follow Andrew on Twitter at abrew2014. He's the founder of 200 Foot Hockey and 200 Foot Coaching, a leader in hockey technology, and a former Maple Leaf assistant coach. Thank you for the time, Brew. Let's do this again later in the playoffs.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope the Leafs keep going. I've got lots of in-laws and my father-in-law back in PEI is a massive Leafs fan, so we need to keep the Leafs train going.
We'll see how it goes. Saturday night. Thanks, man.
All right.
See you, pal.
That's Andrew Brewer. This hour of First Up brought to you by LeaseBusters. LeaseBusters will get you out of your car lease today. It is as easy as pie, a piece of cake. Avoid penalties and early termination fees. Visit LeaseBusters.com. All right, it's time. The phone lines are now open. 416-870-1050. Wake up, Woodbridge. We'll talk about the Leafs' loss to Boston. The belief in this group to turn it around ahead of Game 4 on Saturday night. 416-870-1050. Wake up, Woodbridge is next.
Formula One lives on TSN with every race all season long. And with TSN Plus, go that extra mile with onboard cameras, pit lane channel, and more.
Boy, is it good here.
F1 lives on TSN and TSN Plus.